Because if you're on the housetop, do not even take the time to walk down the stairs to get into your house to try to gather your stuff together and to carry it with you to get out. It is going to happen so fast. When Rome starts its judgment, you better get out quick, because if you're stuck in there, you're going to die. So that's how fast. If you're on the rooftop, you just run across the rooftops and you get out of the city as quickly as you possibly can. And then he gets to verse 33. And this is the key that I think opens up what's happening with the rich young ruler. This is what the rich young ruler illustrates. He says, whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life will keep it. Now understand what he's talking about in the destruction of Jerusalem. In the destruction of Jerusalem, what he's saying is, look, I understand you've got all the things that mean something to you. The stuff that your parents left you, your gold, your silver, your money, all of that stuff is in your house. That you think makes up your life. If you take the time to try to go get that stuff, you're going to die in the judgment. That's his point in the destruction of Jerusalem. Then we come down to the rich young ruler. And we see this point opened up for all of life. And what we need to understand is happening. Because what he explains to the rich young ruler is, young man, you've got this thing that you think is your life, and you're trying to preserve it, and you're trying to save it. But if that is what you look to, if that is what you try to preserve, if that is what you try to save, you need to understand you are going to lose your life. That's what's happening. The rich young ruler needs to remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife who looked back. And I don't believe that's just an issue of she happened to glance back. I think it's an issue of if she's looking back with longing, she's looking back to her life in Sodom and Gomorrah. And she's watching as her house is being burned. And thinking of all the goods and the life that she had there, she's looking back with longing. And that's what this rich young ruler is doing. He is looking at this life. And he is looking at the trappings and the decorations and the goods and the materials of this world and this life. And that's what he wants to preserve. And because he wants to preserve this life, he loses the real life. And when we grasp that, we see the key. Do you want to know what the key is? You want to know what it is that we must do to inherit eternal life? Here's the key. We must love and long for eternal life more than we love and long for this life and all of its trappings. That's the key. That's it. We get that right. Everything else is going to fall into place. That is Jesus' real answer. His real answer is not do this particular good deed. And I think that that's what the rich young ruler was looking for. He was hoping some good deed, because as a rich man, he could pull that off. I wonder if Jesus had said, sell half of what you have and give it to the poor and hang out with me. He might have done that. In fact, I think, from Matthew's account, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, the way Matthew records the account, it sounds like that's exactly what he was asking. In Matthew's account, here's the way Matthew records it, that the rich young ruler comes up and says, good teacher, what good deed must I do? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? I have no doubt that he expected some kind of answer like, well, give 100 denarii to your favorite charity. Or sell half of your goods. Or, you know what? Give a year's wages into my ministry to support my ministry. He might expect Jesus to say something like that. But that wasn't it. But you see, the issue wasn't about the money and the amount of money. It was about the place of the money. And the fact that the money was coming between the rich young ruler and Jesus. The real key on this is follow me. Follow me. But there was something that was keeping the rich young ruler from following him. And for this rich young ruler, it was his goods and his material wealth. Here's the key. Do you want eternal life? then love and long for eternal life more than you love and long for this life and its trappings and decorations. And so that leaves us with a question. It leaves us with a question. What do I value? What do you value? Put yourself in the ruler's shoes. Put yourself running up to Jesus, falling on your knees and saying, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he looks at you with the kind of eyes that bore deep down into your soul. And he sees the one great thing that is coming between you and him. And he says, that thing right there, that thing that keeps you from following me. If you want eternal life, get rid of that. Because that's what he's saying to this guy. This thing that's keeping you from me, you get rid of that. And I listen to what Peter says as he comes back to Jesus and explains, "Well, look at us, Lord. Aren't we great? Look at all these things we've left." And we know that in the account, as we see in Matthew, that Jesus goes on to rebuke Peter a little bit with a story to kind of to humble him just a little bit. But the first thing he says is, "Hey, everyone who's left house or wife, or brothers, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, he'll receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." Think about those things. There are people that are going to have to leave house and wife and husband and children and parents and job, reputation, finances, money, power, fame, giving up all of those things, losing a career, giving up friends. All of those kinds of things. I find it interesting that in Matthew and Mark, when they tell this story about the rich young ruler, it's actually right after Jesus gave his teaching on unlawful marriage and divorce. I think that's interesting. Because here is this teaching about folks who are unlawfully married. And then the very next thing is this teaching about, are you willing to give up anything that comes between you and your God? Now look, here's the thing I need you to understand. I'm not telling you that to go to heaven, you have to leave your spouse or sell your house. I'm not telling you that you have to cut off your kids. I'm not telling you that you have to quit your job. I'm not telling you that because God hasn't said these are the rules, these are the things you have to get rid of. But I am telling you this. Whatever it is that you value most that's coming between you and God and following Jesus, he will ask for that. He will ask for that. And so I need to be asking the question, if I were talking to Jesus right now, and he's looking at the thing that's keeping me from him, what I value the most, am I ready to get rid of it? Because if I don't get rid of it, just like this rich young ruler, it's going to come between me and Jesus. And instead of following him, I will abandon him. You want eternal life? You've got to love and long for eternal life more than you love and long for this life and all its trappings. But we sit back and we ask, how dare he ask that? Who does he think he is to ask me to give up what is most valuable to me? And that takes us back to the very first thing that Jesus said to this ruler, the part that we've actually skipped over till this point. The ruler says to him, "Good teacher." And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? There's nobody good but God." Now skeptics look at this and say, "See, Jesus is pointing out that he's not God." And that is wrong. Because Jesus is in fact doing the exact opposite. What Jesus is actually pointing out is, if you're going to come ask me this question and you're going to call me good teacher, are you willing to live by the logical consequence of that statement? Because if I'm really good, that means I'm from God. And if you really, really believe that I am a good teacher, then you better really, really be ready to do whatever it is I say next. And what he actually points out about this rich young ruler is this rich young ruler was thinking about Jesus very much the way he was thinking about eternal life. I like it, I want it, but let's not get extreme. Jesus, you're awesome, you're great, you're good, but let's not take this whole teacher thing too far. And what Jesus is highlighting is that he is from God, and he actually makes it even stronger than that. He is God. And if we're going to ask Jesus a question, we better be ready to follow the answer. That's his point. And when we recognize that he is God, that ought to lead us to ask a question. If he is God, what is he doing down here on earth talking to this rich young ruler? Why isn't he in heaven? Because that's where God is supposed to be. Why isn't he on the throne, surrounded by angelic beings, singing his praises and lifting him up and honoring him? Why is he down here on this dusty earth talking to people here? Well, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 on page 968 in the Pew Bible if you'd like to look there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, here's what we learn about Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. For your sake, though he was rich, he became poor. He left the riches of heaven. He left behind what we might think he would value the most. He gave it up. And then he came into this world, and interestingly, he didn't even come into this world as a very rich, worldly person. He wasn't born in the king's house. He wasn't born in the palace. He wasn't raised by the emperor or the governor. He was raised by a poor carpenter that couldn't even afford the sacrifices, had to offer the poor sacrifices in an enslaved nation. He gave up his riches. Here's the thing I hope you recognize. Jesus is not saying, as we often say, well, you know, if I was asked, I would do, you need to do this because if I was asked, I would do it too. He's saying, do this because I've already done it too. That's what Jesus is saying. Your eternal life was so valuable, is so valuable to him. He longs for your eternal life. He loves you having eternal life so much. He gave up all the riches of heaven. And he came down here and lived in squalor and poverty. And then he turns to us and says, do you love eternal life that much? Because that's how much I loved your eternal life. And we need to ask, what do I value? Because if I want eternal life, then I need to love and long for eternal life more than I love and long for this life and all of its trappings. I need to be ready to get rid of this thing that keeps me from Jesus, whatever it is. To hand it over. That is how I get eternal life. That is what I must do. Now, if you're like me, you hear that and you say, that's impossible. Love and long for eternal life. I don't even understand eternal life enough to love it that much. I see all of this. I'm struggling. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to get to that point. Boy, it would be so much easier if he would just say, do these five things. Do these six good works. I could do that. I'm a little worried. I'm not sure I can pull off loving heaven. Loving eternal life. Longing for that more than all of this. I don't know if I can pull that off. And what we need to understand that Jesus is actually saying is if you're trying to ask me what you can do to inherit eternal life, the answer to that question is not enough. What can you do? Not enough. And then we remember what Jesus said to the apostles when they asked. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Because the reality is, it's not just rich people that get distracted by this life. It's everybody. It's not just rich people that have things that come between them and following Jesus. It's everybody. And honestly, brothers and sisters, if we want to come to Jesus and say, what's this going to cost me? Too much. But what's impossible with man is possible with God. And so tonight, my call to action for you is not love eternity more than you love this life. Because frankly, I think for you and for me, that's impossible. My call to action is, let's start asking God, help me love you and eternity more than I love this life. Because what's impossible for us is possible for Him. I'm not going to get myself there. You're not going to get yourself there. But God can get you there. God will. So as a child of God, let me encourage you. That's what you need to be praying. God, help me love eternity more than I love this earth. Help me love you more than I love anything else. Because if I want eternal life, I've got to love and long for eternal life more than I love and long for this life and its trappings. How are you doing at that? Thank you so much for your kind patience and attention. Feel free to put your notes and Bibles away at this point if you want. If you want to follow along in our invitation song in just a moment in a songbook, you can pull that out now. Brother Todd's going to lead us in another song that we know. This world is not my home. We know that one. I'm just going to tell you guys, hey, I knew Hallelujah, We Shall Rise. I knew that. And I grew up in the Baptist church, so I don't know what's wrong with you guys. But do you love eternal life more than you love this life and its trappings? Because if you do, then when Jesus tells you something, you're going to do it. And so when Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, you don't spend your time worrying about who else has obeyed that and where they're going to be, because you're focused on the one who told you that's the way it is. You're not going to spend your time worrying about what's being said anyplace else. Jesus has said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. He had his apostles say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just do what he says. If you really believe he's the good teacher, just do what he says. So we want to give you an opportunity tonight to enter Jesus Christ, to let him be your king, to confess him as king and Lord, to turn away from leading your own life and bring yourself under his direction. And to do that by being baptized for the remission of your sins, being immersed in water so that you can be raised to walk in a new life. This world is not your home. Make God and his presence your home tonight. If we can help you with that, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.